Thank you very much. I couldn't help but notice the absence of the word sexy in that introduction. I guess if my mother-in-law said it, it's probably a bit awkward. I'm not sure. Forgive me for rearranging the furniture. I just need a little bit of room. I like to run around, jog on the spot sometimes. So it's really a privilege to be here and speak to you ladies. And I know that I've got something to give you which has come directly from God, so that's good news. Because I had to really dig it out. You know, sometimes you might hear from God and you get a revelation, something just pops into your head and you think, wow, thanks God, that was amazing. I'm going to share that with somebody. But sometimes, and if you've ever been on a roster to share in church, you might think, oh gosh, I need a message for next Sunday or next week or next month. I've got nothing right now. So I don't leave things to the last minute. That's not my style. But I've been digging this out for probably about a month or so. Sometimes I had to throw it back in because it wasn't quite ready. So I'd start a new spot and dig something out. So hopefully this blesses you today. Well, hopefully, you know, we all can take something away from this conference. As Gabby said, there has been some gold shared today. Even for myself, I'm not going to discriminate at all. This is actually the 10th Aspire conference that I've been to as well. What? And for those who are in the know, we had a For Her conference that operated before and slightly at the same time, and I went to every single one of those as well. So I'm ready to roll. You know, I can regurgitate about 15 years worth of women's conference messages. So get your pen and paper out. Here we go. So I've got a title for my message today. Hopefully that helps you to remember it. The title is Leg Day. I am desperately sorry, Susie Botros, that I thought about, you know, how can I get it so that we don't cover your face there, and don't worry about mine too much. That's excellent positioning to keep Simone in the picture as well, by the way. That was done on purpose. Just a really, really quick story before I dive into it. When Pastor Tony asked me to speak, Simone says to me, she goes, now, you got to make sure that when you're up there, you tell everyone that you're married. And you've got to talk about like how beautiful your wife is and how much she loves you and, you know, all the great things that I do for you. And I was like, oh, okay, no worries. So that'll probably take about half my message, but no worries at all. So hopefully that's enough, babe. I'll get your seal of approval on that before we dive into it. So the title is Leg Day. Now, can I get any sort of hands raised if you know what I mean when I say Leg Day? A few. Okay, so I'll fill the rest of you in. Leg day is the worst day of the week. Okay, I'm not even joking. Don't laugh. It's the worst day of the week. I started going to the gym about 6 months ago. Don't judge me. I haven't been going for the last couple of weeks. I have an injury, a real one. Isn't that right, Mum? See, I have a real injury, so I've been off for a couple of weeks. But I go to the gym with my good buddy, Bo, and we do leg day on Tuesday. So I hate Tuesdays. Essentially, leg day is all about how much weight you can move in the lower part of your body, right? So you don't worry about your core a little bit, but you don't worry about your upper body. You're not too concerned about your shoulders or arms. It's your thighs, your quads, your calves. You really give those suckers a workout. If you do it right, it should be hard for you to walk back to the car at the end of the session. The first time I did leg day, oh man, it was so good. First time I did leg day, had a fantastic workout, and we got to step down the gutter to get to the car park, and I went like this. Oh my goodness, I'm never doing this again. But I did. Leg day is hard work. And the message that I want to share with you this morning is obviously very similar to what we've been hearing so far about facing challenges and overcoming obstacles and building your faith to reach the next challenge, because that's really all that we get to until we die. Now, isn't it true that we all know that exercise is good for us? We've heard that said to us many, many a time over the years. From primary school age, they talk about how good exercise is, hence why they put PE class from prep right through to year 12. Exercise is good for us, but we don't always do it. Because some things get in the way, we get really busy, perhaps we prioritize eating over exercise. Or, I mean, legitimately, perhaps we're prioritizing work or raising kids or church ministry over exercise. But that doesn't make it any less important. And the fact is that exercising your faith is just as important. But I would argue that we often will have the same mindset with physical exercise as we do with spiritual exercise. We think, oh, I know that I should be exercising my faith. I know that I should believe God more. I know that I should trust God more. But, I don't know, like, things just get in the way, don't they? We just get busy with stuff. I'm a father of two. We have two beautiful girls. I've got one's here today lying on the ground at the back. Thanks for your support, babe. And I know, you know, being a parent is hard. Like, it's really busy and frustrating at times. You know, you often have days where, like, my goodness, go and see your mother. And then there are some days where it's like, oh, you're so beautiful. I just love you so much. Come and give daddy a big cuddle. And you know, push your face away because, you know, they don't want the kisses. I'm at that stage. But I get it, right? Life is busy. Life is hard. Life is full of these obstacles. But a healthy spiritual walk includes spiritual exercise. And so the title and the announcement for us today is that it's leg day. It's leg day today. And unfortunately, it's leg day tomorrow. And the really bad news is that it's leg day the next day. I want to share a verse with you quickly, Ephesians 6:13. Thanks, Maddie. I know Caroline has touched on it, and I'll touch on it myself as well. And just talk a bit about what it means. So verse 13, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So Paul's talking about putting on the armor of God, which if you're not familiar with it, it's just come slightly after this verse. And then he says, you know, when evil comes, you should be able to stand. That's really important, is the standing. After you have done everything else that you could possibly do, make sure you're still standing. Wow. Okay. So it must be fairly important for us to stand. And my encouragement for you this morning is stand up for something. You know, for the love of God, stand up for something in your family. Stand up for something in your community. Stand up for your pastors. Stand up for your husband. Stand up for your kids. You know, it is difficult. It is challenging because it is about exercising your faith. Who knows that when you start exercising, it's the worst. The worst thing you can do is to start something. You look ugly, you're probably doing a terrible job at it, and you feel like you're not getting any results. But to start something is the start of your legacy, right? The whole reason why we came here to hear about things is to hear about legacy. Start standing up for something today. Maybe it's just your family values. Maybe you've never written down family values before. Write some down and start standing up for them. Maybe it's about standing up for righteousness. Perhaps in your little group or your community or your office or your mum's group or whatever it is, there's this culture or tendency to sort of get involved in wrong things. And I'm not talking about like crazy drug dealing or witchcraft or anything, although maybe that's possible. But I just mean like perhaps people who are talking ill of their husband or partner. Perhaps people who are talking about how much they hate the boss and they're thinking about stealing from the company or, you know, they want to go out on the weekend so that they can get drunk and have a good time. Let's not fade back into the background and just be like, oh, yeah, that's, oh, yeah, oh, sounds fun. Good on you, Julie. Sorry to any Julies. Make a stand in that situation. Stand up for righteousness. Actually, this weekend, I'm going to church. Why don't you come with me? You know, I was chatting to my wife, my beautiful wife, and we were talking about inviting people to church. And look, you know, it's confronting. You often will feel nervous. You get a bit of butterflies and you're thinking, what are they going to think about me? What are they going to say? Am I going to face rejection? But I mean, the reality of any of those situations is if you've got an opportunity to invite someone to church, then God is already in that situation, right? Because he's not going to open it up if he doesn't want you to invite that person to church. I've mentioned a few times over the however many years I've been preaching that if you get a positive thought about God or the kingdom of God, it's from God. If you get a thought about how, you know, you might be better off or you think that someone else might be worse off, that thought probably comes from Satan. Right? So follow the good ones. Follow the positive ones. You get this little light bulb in your head that says, you should invite her to church. And you're standing there thinking, oh, I'm supposed to be singing this week. I don't want her to see me sing. Oh my gosh. What if, you know, what if I'm off key? What if, you know, she sees me dancing and then she goes and tells everyone else? And you wouldn't get that thought if it wasn't specifically God putting it in your mind. Because, you're just not that good, right? We're not spiritual enough normally. We're not open enough normally to have this thought ourselves, I should go around and I should target that person and invite them to church. But God will drop that thought in your mind and then the challenge is set. Then you're in the squat. You got a little bit of weight on your shoulders. Wore my skinny jeans today, so I'm not going to get too much lower. You got a little bit of weight on your shoulders, and God is like your personal trainer. So let's just see how you go. Invite that lady to church. Tell that lady about how you received a healing 2 weeks ago. She's struggling in her marriage. Why don't you try and speak some life into it? Why don't you try and give her some wisdom about what it really means to stand up for your husband? Let me tell you, when you're in the squat, that's like the hardest part, right? That's where the burn starts to come. That deep, painful experience in your thighs where you're thinking to yourself, this was so not worth it today. Why on earth did I get out of bed at 5:45 in the morning so I could come here and wreck myself? But it's so important. God's got you in the squat and he's saying, no, come on, squat it. Squat it. You can do it. It's leg day. Because you know what? If you can't squat that, you ain't going to be squatting the next one. You ain't going to be able to squat the next level of challenges or the next weight that I've got to put on your shoulders. And you know what? It's exactly what you've been asking me for the last 12 months. But hasn't God said to us many, many times, it's even written in the Bible, I'll show you later if you want, be faithful in the small things. When I first started going to the gym and you got the barbell set up there and I think to myself, should I put some weight on that? Or should I just maybe squat the bar, see how it feels? You know, because I'm not a pro, but I mean, look at me. I'm obviously, you know, not a squatting professional. But also, I mean, this is the challenge that you have, right? You look around the gym and you see some of these buff guys, they're like pushing 100, 200 kilos and you're thinking, I can't just squat the bar. I can't, like, you know, that would just be silly. So I'll put a little bit of weight on. I'll just put a little bit. And, you know, you start with a little bit and you do a couple of squats. You think, yeah, that's not too bad. I reckon maybe I could handle a little bit more. So you stick it back and you go over to, you know, the weight thingo and you grab another plate, you stick it on the end and one on the other end and you try again. It's a little bit heavier, but because you've had the practice, because you've done it last week and the week before and the week before that, you can squat the next level of weight. If you're faithful in the small things, then God will start trusting you with the bigger challenges. If you start exercising your faith in the small areas, then maybe you've got the opportunity for God to trust you with really big faith moments. You know, it's an amazing story about people who just stood in the Bible. And it's a fairly short passage. I'll share it with you. But I think that, you know, it shows so much character and tells a really deep and moving story about this particular person in the Bible and how important it is and it was for them to stand. John chapter 19, verse 25. Thanks, Maddie. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. The person who writes this book is John, who is also the disciple John. You know, one of the only reasons why you get an accurate story of who stood at the cross of Jesus is because John was the only disciple who was there. John, who calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved, was the only one who stuck around to the end. And so Jesus is there hanging on the cross. I mean, just imagine the picture. I'm sure we're familiar with the story about he got beaten, he got whipped, he had his beard plucked out of his face. My gosh. What sort of ridiculous level of torment was going on? Crown of thorns forced into his brow. There would have been blood everywhere. Not only that, he's hanging on the cross, gasping for air. And there stands his mother, his auntie, a couple of followers, and the disciple that he loved. What kind of faith must it have taken for your mum to come and watch you die? What kind of faith would it have taken for Mary to stand there and not try to rescue her son off the cross, but believe this is meant to happen? This is what he's supposed to do. Even though it looks ugly, I can barely even fathom the pain that he must be going through. But as moms, I'm sure you can imagine when your child gets sick, when your child gets hurt, you feel that pain, right? That empathy pain, you've got it deep down, it's burning in your heart, just like when you're in the squat and your legs start burning and you see that pain in somebody else, you feel it yourself. Imagine Mary, the mother of Jesus, watching her son bleed to death, suffocate, be tormented by the guards who are mocking him while he's dying. And I can only imagine her thought process, like, he told me this is how it was meant to be. He told me that this day would come. He told me that he would rise again. I've got no choice. I'm in the squat. I can't back out now. I'm watching my son die. I'm watching my protector, my provider, my savior, my leader. It is most commonly thought that Mary's husband, Joseph, was dead by now. So she's got Jesus and she's got her other son. But imagine what she's thinking. Jesus is gone. What am I going to do now? What am I going to spend my time doing? I used to tell people, oh, Jesus is my son and you can go and hear him preach over there. He was up on the mountain the other day, fed 5,000 people. Did you hear about that? Only a couple of fish involved. As mothers do. Which is fine. But now she's in this position and she's looking at her son who's been lifted up on a cross and all she's got is her faith. Because the fact of the matter is, her son's going to die. A very painful death. And soon after that, they'll take him down off the cross and they'll put him in a tomb and roll the biggest rock you've ever seen in front of the doorway. And again, she's in the squat, right? She's in this situation where she's thinking, if he doesn't rise again, what am I going to do? What is going to become of me? I've got no husband. I've just lost my son. What am I going to do now with my life? How am I going to get out of this squat? The only choice that Mary had, the only choice that we have when we're facing these challenges, maybe even existential challenges. Maybe somebody has come to you with bad news and you're literally staring death in the face and you're in the squat and you start to feel that burn. The only choice we have is to exercise our faith. The only choice that we've got is just to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and believe in His word. Maybe you've been struggling to stand. Maybe you've said things to yourself like, I just wasn't meant to be a mum. Or maybe I just wasn't meant to be in ministry. Maybe God hasn't called me to speak into other people's lives. Or maybe you've struggled so hard and it's been so long and you've been in that squat for so long, your legs start shaking. You're thinking, there's no way I'm going to get this bar back on top. There's no way I'm going to be able to get this weight off of my shoulders. You might sit down in a dark room and you start writing out a note like, I don't think anyone wants me around. Maybe this world would be better off without me. Sign your name on the bottom. But the thing is, when you're in that squat, God's got your back. Your gym buddy, your personal trainer, he's standing there right next to you, right behind you, and he can grab onto the weight that's on your shoulders and help you get it back onto the hooks. God is saying, no, 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 you got to squat that. You got to squat it. Don't give in now. You're so close to getting your barbell back onto the hooks. You're so close to having your faith get you through to that next victory. Come on, girl, you got to squat that. Sometimes a personal trainer's got to get mad with you, right? Don't give up now. Don't give in just because it's hurting a little bit. That's what's supposed to happen. It's supposed to hurt a little bit. You're supposed to grow your faith. It's supposed to be hard. You know why? Because we're building our faith bigger and bigger for this life to make a greater impact for the kingdom of God. You know why? See, if God didn't want you to build your faith, He would have just taken you up when you got saved. Right? You accept Jesus in your heart? Yep. All right. You're up in heaven. Having a party. But the thing is, you don't need faith when you're in heaven. You're going to be staring at Jesus in the face. Why do you need faith for? So God has given us an opportunity to live this life. He's given us the tools. He's given us the wisdom. He's given us the encouragement. He's standing behind you in the squat saying, come on, I know you can do it. I've given everybody a measure of faith. I know you've got it in you. Just push a little bit harder. Just believe a little bit further. Just trust me a little bit more. Great word from Carolina this morning. And you know what's interesting about leg day, apart from it being the worst day ever, is that yeah, you got to start small and you got to build your weight up. And that, I mean, that is so like relational to building up your faith from small things to big things. Hey, listen, let me give you a little tip. If you don't have goldfish, go buy some, let them die, and then pray for them. I'm not kidding. Why don't you practice raising something from the dead that doesn't involve you committing murder? Depending on whether or not you're an animal activist, don't come and talk to me after. I don't care. Practice your faith on the little things. There's this flu bug going around. I actually thought maybe it was going to get me this morning. There's like flu demon that's coming around. But hey, no, stand up for something. Get in that squat. Be like, no, I'm not taking the flu, you demon. I'm going to squat this bad boy. I'm going to get up over it. And then the next challenge that comes, which might be a little bit worse than the flu, gastro. You've got your practice. You've done that one already. I've done 50 kgs. I'm ready for 60. Bring it on. But you know what's very interesting about leg day and particularly squats, because that's generally where, or maybe leg press, you get the most weight, right? And what happens if you're a gym goer, you don't have to be, I'm going to teach you. If you're a gym goer, is you start to boast about it, right? I'm not at that stage yet because I'm still lifting small weights. Don't judge me. But you get to a certain level, and then afterwards, you might say to your gym buddy, "Woo, just did 120. Feels good. I feel good. What'd you do? 150. Oh, come on, man. Far out. How'd you get to 150 so quick? Oh, yeah, no, I do leg day every day. Hate those people. But you start getting to certain points and you boast about your numbers, right? Another big one, if you want to pretend to be a gym junkie, you just say things like, "Yeah, man, I squatted 120," or the deadlift. Now, the deadlift is really where you start seeing some competition. How much you lift, deadlift is what you're going for here, right? Now, let me just, I'm going to let you into the inner core of my heart and my secret place right now that nobody else has access to. Okay? It's not even, doesn't even go in my journal. That's how deep we're going right now. My deadlift number is like a third of what my gym buddies is. And every morning that we do leg day, or that's more so back day, he'll stack on the weights on the deadlift and I'll go do something else. I just feel like, "Nah, bro, I won't interrupt you. I won't interrupt you while you're doing your deadlift. I'm gonna go over here. I'm gonna go and do the. I'm just gonna fill up my drink bottle. I'll be back. I'm gonna fill up my drink bottle." Conveniently, I get stuck talking to the cleaner while I'm finishing filling up my drink bottle. I come back. "Oh, you done on the deadlift? That's cool. Now let's move over here to the rows. I'll do it next time. I'll do it next time." Oh, that's right. When you start getting up to big numbers, you start boasting about it, right? And you'll tell anybody who'll listen. You just say, "Oh yeah, man, I squatted 120 this morning. Woo, it's awesome." But when you're exercising your faith and you start lifting the heavy things, boast about it. It's exactly what Pastor Tony was sharing with us just earlier. Why don't you tell people about the good things that happen in your life? Why don't you start telling people about the goodness of God? You know, if nothing is going right, at least the fact that you've received salvation and at some point you're going to spend eternity in paradise with God. I mean, I get it sometimes when people say, "God, just take me home. Just take me now." You know, Paul writes in the Bible, he says, "For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain." You know, I read that sometimes and I think, far out, man, that's morbid. You got something wrong in your thinking there, brother. You must be really struggling on that to write, you know, "I'd rather die, you know, and gain something." My goodness. But actually, he has the most amazing revelation of God and of heaven, that he knows that this earth where we live right now, this sucks. Right? Even if you're not struggling with anything, even if life's going really, really fantastically for you and you get everything that you've ever wanted, unlikely. But if that's you, it still sucks compared to what's awaiting us in heaven, in glory. You know, one of the most amazing examples of faith that we have is actually part of a legacy that we're all included in. Who can recall in Sunday school singing a song about Father Abraham? Get a few smiles and nods and people think, "Oh, please, God, don't sing it." Father Abraham had many sons and daughters. Many sons and daughters had Father Abraham. I am one. You don't know this song? I'll teach it to you later. So let's all praise the Lord right on. All right, that's enough. So Abraham is often referred to as the father of faith. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he was squatting something for almost his entire life. And I won't make you try this, but maybe, you know, later at home in the privacy of your own bedroom or something, or you can challenge your husband to it, because all guys love a challenge. We're very competitive normally. Get into a squat position. Get down real low, because that's where it starts to hurt. Skinny jeans are killing me. But, you know, get down real low and just see how long you can hold your squat. Just see how long you can sit in that position without starting to get the wobbles. Oh, my goodness. You know, the burn just getting you on the whatever the back one is, and even the front starts to burn as well, and you're thinking, man, my husband better give up soon, otherwise we're in big trouble here. I'm not going to be able to go to the toilet after this. Don't take it that far. Abraham, the father of faith, squatted something almost his entire life. I won't get you to flick there, Maddie, but it says in Romans 4 and verse 18, it says, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, still believed. He's down in that squat position, and against all challenges, against all obstacles, against all other people in the gym saying, nah, buddy, you ain't going to squat that. You ain't going to make it. Just put it down. Fail already. It's not going to happen for you. What are you, like 100? Actually, yes, I am 100. Yes, I am. But God told me that I would be the father of many nations. And even though Sarah's womb is as good as dead, I like that one too. Even though it looks impossible, I will not weaken in my stance. I will not grow weary in my faith, but I will trust in and rely on and pursue the promise of God until what He has said would happen, happens. And you know what's incredible about the story of Abraham is that you are sitting here today. The legacy of the faith of Abraham sits in every single one of you. The Bible tells me so. So this morning, I encourage you, if you're in a squat, don't give in. Don't give up. Don't put your barbell down and try and slide some things off. Turn around to your personal trainer, your PT, and say, give me some more. Help me. Shout at me. Give me some encouragement. Whatever it takes, because there are going to be extra things coming your way. There are going to be challenges that don't back down or don't seem to back down. You know, I mean, just imagine if Australia wasn't as blessed as it is and you couldn't find a Bible. You didn't have the Word of God to flick open and say, oh, that's right, Abraham, the father of faith, had a wife with a dead womb. I was waiting for it. That's what I'm believing in. That's why I know I can break through, because Abraham did it first. But there may come a time where if you haven't exercised your faith, if you haven't done a few squats already, then the challenge that comes might seem too great. It might seem like too much weight, and then it's going to knock you over. Can I encourage you, stand up for something. Stand up for your pastors, because Lord knows when gay marriage finally gets accepted in this nation, there's going to be a lot of pressure on ministers who refuse to conduct a ceremony. Stand up for your pastors. Stand up for your husband or your partner. He goes through challenges too. And the problem with us blokes is that we normally don't tell anyone about it. So stand up for your husband. Do it in faith. Do it in spirit. Stand up for your family when attacks come. And remind yourself that when you're in the squat, although that's the time when it burns the most and it feels like that's a terrible time of life, the joy that you feel when you get that victory, you're able to put the barbell back on the hooks, surpasses any pain that you've felt. And the final joy that we get is that whatever time it comes, could be now, could be tomorrow, could be in 50 years, when this life, this age is over, we're going to be able to spend eternity in paradise with Jesus Christ. You can go and sing that song to Abraham himself. He'll love it. Thank you very much, ladies. I hope that helped a little bit, even just a little bit. Thank you, Joe. Enjoy the rest of your conference.